This is EdUp, Accelerated Excellence.
Leaders, entrepreneurs, and change agents looking for the opportunity to network and exchange ideas with other trailblazers and to further your brand. The 2.0 Conference is for you. Experts from the fields of education, health, internet, marketing, and CXO are welcome to take part in the 2025 conference in Las Vegas, March 4th through 6th. Reserve your space today and receive a 10% discount courtesy of EdUp Accelerated Excellence with the code EdUpXE10OFF. That's EdUpXE10OFF. Learn more and register online at www.the2conf.com. That's the2conf.com with the code EdUpXE10OFF.
You're listening to EdUp, Accelerated Excellence, a podcast for the advancement of educational effectiveness and equity across both traditional and non-traditional learning spaces and experiences. You can imagine our intrigue and excitement as we received a pitch to focus on the role of education in preparing individuals for the role of call center representatives. How could we turn it down? So we began an investigation on the topic. Call centers are centralized hubs where customer service representatives handle client interactions through phone calls or other communication channels. Their primary functions include resolving customer inquiries, addressing issues, and fostering customer satisfaction, making them integral to customer relation management. Call centers can be inbound, receiving calls, or outbound, initiating calls for sales, surveys, or follow-ups. According to the 2024 Call Centers Market Global Forecast Report for 2025 through 2030, the call centers market growth grew from $27.32 million US dollars in 2023 to $29.44 million in 2024. And it is expected to continue to grow at a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 8.24%, reaching $47.57 million by 2030. However, the market is becoming increasingly saturated in developed regions where competition is high and customer expectations demand advanced, personalized service. Businesses in these markets are investing heavily in technology such as AI and automation to reduce costs and differentiate their offerings. Meanwhile, emerging markets continue to see growth opportunities driven by outsourcing and the expanding role for customer support services. Call centers have a substantial impact across industries such as telecommunications, retail, finance, and healthcare by improving customer retention, brand loyalty, and business insights. Companies also utilize data collected by call centers to refine their services to better address customer preferences. Entry-level call positions typically require a high school diploma or equivalent, although strong communication, problem-solving skills, and basic computer proficiency are highly valued. On-the-job training equips employees with the technical and interpersonal skills needed to meet industry demands. This is where we begin this episode, to better understand one organization and its role for preparing and supporting its call center representatives for effectiveness in their roles. Welcome back to Ed Up Accelerated Excellence, a podcast for the advancement of educational effectiveness and equity across both traditional and non-traditional learning experiences and environments. We have a new guest, so I'm going to allow him to introduce himself to us and to tell us where he works and a bit about his origin story with the current work that he's involved in. So, Richard, will you introduce yourself to the EdUp Accelerated Excellence audience?
I would love to. Jacob, I can't thank you enough. I'm so happy to be a guest here today. Can't believe I qualified, but I guess I do. My name is Richard Blank. I'm the proud CEO of Costa Rica's call center, but I'm actually a long shot from Northeast Philadelphia. I was a Spanish major in college, and I started this company 17 years ago with my wife. We grew to 150, and I promote on merit. It could be young or old, male or female, doesn't matter who you are or where you are. If you're the top person in this company, you're gonna rise real fast. I love things like that. But I guess my proudest thing is that I pay it forward, my proud Abington High School, my alma mater. So I have a second language scholarship that I do every year for a graduating senior that wants to study second languages at the university. And so I like making very nice circles complete. And that was one of them.
So you're a Philadelphia boy, but how did you end up in Costa Rica?
Oof. Well, I tell you what, it was built on momentum. I was a Spanish major. I interned for Telemundo in college, worked for the importers of Corona postgrad. Besides Se habla Español, my business card, I made myself versatile and marketable. And so when I was 27 years old, my cousin Joel told me that I had a 1 in a million opportunity to go work at my buddy's call center in Costa Rica for 2 months and go teach some English. Well, besides teaching English, it opened my eyes to a real call center environment. It's not like what you see in the movies with the Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room. Some places are like that. But there are some incredible environments where people are capable of retaining a client, getting an upsell, a referral, or even an exit interview to see what you can do better on the next call. But I tell you what, when you're looking at an English second language linguistic environment, oh, such stimulation. Such discipline and structure. These people were dancing in languages and it was beautiful for me and I could fit in. I just had to learn what to do. And so I decided to stay. And in the course of 4 years, Jacob, I learned this business from the inside out. Not at sea level, I sat with the people and I mastered every department. So when it was my time to throw my hat in the ring in my mid 30s, when I had impulse control and some maturity, I decided it was the right time for me. I wasn't a hot shot in my 20s. It took me some time. But I'll tell you what, the million-dollar bit of advice is you must extend empathy with those that work with you. Because if you have this super ego, they could always quit. And then you have no company. So you just got to make sure that you call the balls and the strikes. You give a little bit of Philly guilt when needed. You size them up. But you get the best out of people. And if you can crack those sort of codes and have that sort of foundation in a relationship, don't be surprised if someone is with you a decade.
You know, we just had a guest, Shazeri Warren, who talked about empathy, but he talked about false empathy. So I can definitely relate to the power of empathy in your workplace. So interesting enough, we have somewhat of a similar background. I worked as a telemarketer for a short period of time while I was an undergraduate and I was a Spanish major. So I was on the call manning or personing the international calls. So tell us, what does it mean and what does it feel like to work at a call center?
You sold your soul. Man, some people would rather do public speaking than this, and they feel that more than death. I'm only kidding. It's not for the faint of heart. You need to build up endurance for it. In my mind, I saw the romantic side of it. It's really beautiful rhetoric and semantics and a phonetic delivery. As good looking as you and I are, Jacob, majority of our clients can see us over the phone. So you're losing that sort of suit-wearing smile. But what I've seen, and I've cracked a few codes, is that when you speak to somebody, I believe that the phonetic tell signs are even stronger than if someone, if your micro expression reading them in person, they could just have twitches, just be nervous, and sure, congruence is there. But the purest of pure is you're focused on the way somebody speaks. And you gauge them on their rate of speech and how loud they go. And the real tell sign is their answering speed, the pauses in between the speech. Isn't that the beauty of it? But you can choose specific vocabulary to avoid any sort of conflicts. There's management there. And people have egos. I'll remove the word help on the phone and use words like assist in the beginning, guide in the middle, and lend a hand while they're finishing the project. And it's never, excuse me, Jacob. It's for my clarification. Was it A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3? I can fall on certain swords and sacrifice certain pawns in this game. I don't want to offend. And then inadvertently and passive aggressively, my man, you're going to realize your dog is barking and I can't hear you. Or you got to turn the music down or get in a better cell area. I'm saying for my clarification, because it's your end. And so it's a clever way. And then I like the military alphabet. Because emails do bounce back, you do have an exotic name. It'd be nice to be able to say it properly. And finally, it's an anchoring. There's a lot of people that have served and that have that honor and that respect. And I like to talk about that. So instead of wrapping up a phone call, now you're discussing Veterans Day and you're discussing other proud things to save our democracy and show chivalry. And so I've seen that it's a floating feather. You don't rush to get off a phone call. There's positive escalations that you can do to compliment those that have given you the pass to pitch before they transfer me to you, Jacob. And so, my friend, and Ed of Accelerated Excellence and all the podcasts I've listened to and what you do in person, you know perfectly well, it's the soft skills, the bedside manner. You did talk about false or real empathy. Well, just don't pay false compliments. Back it up with why. Don't just call someone champ. Let them know they did 44 today, and I'm very proud of you. And so these are the sort of things that resonate and what people remember about how you make them feel. And they'll remind you years from now. That's why they didn't quit. That's why they're their top producer. And that's why they removed that fear they might have had of a boss, because they're supposed to be afraid of me and you. But why don't we shatter that misconception? One day they're going to be a boss. You don't want people afraid of you. It should be on that level playing field and that aura and energy that you give out. Easier said than done, my friend. And that's why I've implemented gamification and other sort of things in my call center in which people can interact, let off steam, and meet other people. And so you can't avoid recess or dessert. Life shouldn't be boring. You need to put a little spice in it. And so I try to mix that in with my sort of environment as well.
Well, the call center, is the primary language of delivery English, Spanish, or some other language?
Well, let's get technical for a second. Of course, it's a bilingual dedicated, so it's not mixed or blended, center here that works with sales, appointment setting, lead generation, customer support, back office support, non-voice support. We do not do sports books, casino stocks, pharmacies, or sweepstakes. These individuals have an advanced skill set. They're more than capable. Companies such as Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle are here because of our infrastructure and our labor pool. We have the most neutral English accent in Central America. The only democracy, so you got to think about the, you know, government and the stability of a country. And plus, it's fun. There's a lot of expats that are down here. But working in a call center is interesting. It's like a batting cage. You really got to work up to it. And the beginning's easy to use a headset properly, which is noise canceling, which is great. And then a CRM, where you just learn how to navigate, put in information, or do drop downs. It's be taught in an hour. What can't be taught is your composure. People speak differently on the phone than they do in person. It's almost like when they do puppy talk, when they see a mascot. And so I'd say, you sound weird. Why don't you try natural pauses before names and numbers? Why don't you emphasize personal pronouns, your, and R once again to get their attention because there's 30-second attention spans. You know, you got to trigger certain words. You got to spike them. And then the beauty of it is it's almost like a boxer like Tyson. You just can't punch the whole time. You got to see the size, strength, and strategy. I'd love to see your positive or negative reaction, the reinforcement to what I just said. And you can gauge things accordingly. And so domination is not good. It's better, once again, to listen. So you might choose your own adventure, separate, and prioritize. It's a better to be a rudder than the ship. And it's a nice thing to do. And so I've seen that we've been able to prolong conversations in the metrics that you have working at a center. And our conversion ratios have increased. Our contact ratios have increased. And even if we need to make a custom-made voicemail or email because of COVID or the way people are communicating, if you just do a little due diligence like you and I did prior to this podcast,
right,
people put a little of that magic dust on top and get their attention. And so be clever. Actually try. Just don't make it a print. Come on, Jacob, make it a painting. Make it something that people are going to remember. So at least through merit, you're getting their attention and having the chance to make your case.
Experts from the fields of education, health, internet, marketing, and CXO are welcome to take part in the 2025 2.0 conference in Las Vegas, March 4th through 6th. Reserve your space today and receive a 10% discount courtesy of EdUp Accelerated Excellence with the code EdUpXE10OFF. That's EdUpXE10OFF. Learn more and register online at www.the2conf.com. That's the2conf.com with the code EdUpXE10OFF.
Are you an educational leader or organization seeking innovation or just a new perspective? Then look no further. Accelerated Excellence Consulting is dedicated to offering support to educational leaders and their organizations to meet their full potential for excellence. Services include strategic planning and problem solving, continuous improvement expertise in areas such as assessment and accreditation, and professional development, empowering leaders, individuals, and groups for personal growth for organizational excellence. To learn more, find us online at xeconsulting.org. That's xeconsulting.org.
So let's talk about the educative element. So you have someone who's new and interested in this line of work. Mm-hmm. How do you onboard them and how do you prepare them to be successful at working the phones?
Jacob, do you know what happens with me? I smile because they have no bad habits. It's true. They didn't come from another center. They don't have a supervisor named Billy yelling at you, make more calls. Come on, Jacob, tell me about that time you're at the center. There's always a coffee breath supervisor screaming at you that you should be hanging up on Mrs. Jones and making another call. It's like a squire to a knight. And here's the beauty of it. And just like the school and the other professors that you have that share ideas, these are the sort of things you can use outside of the office to save a marriage, a Thanksgiving dinner, a friendship. I don't know. I'm just giving this individual advanced soft skills. What are we doing? We're using the medium of this technology that we have, which is fantastic. Couldn't do it 200 years ago. We can do it now. The only thing that's kind of weird is that our bodies are not accustomed to 160 hours a month of dedicated work sight unseen with people. And so I like to emphasize Helen Keller, the most brilliant communicator, a genius, actually, one whose two senses got removed, three got expanded. But through Ann Sullivan, they were able to create not only languages, but if you really think about the wealth of the world and what people put value in, look what this young lady did, just not in regards to education, but in regards to inspiration. And everyone in the world wanted to meet her, from actors to authors, to politicians. You want to talk about rock star? How do you even put her in a category? This is a person that was shining in life and fought so hard to create a language and a bridge to communicate with the world. She could have been by herself in darkness and silence, but she opened it up. And so for me, I realize that we are losing our taste, touch, and smell. If you're sitting in a controlled environment, focus group, you should expand that hearing so I can hear the dog in the background, the differentiation between your phonetic movement and then, but Richard, you can't see him. Ah, Jacob, I beg to differ. What about image streaming? It's the Einstein theory. When you are decompressed stimulation, mind wanders, you see things. And for me, the greatest thing in the world are storytellers. If you get it behind a fire, then that's even better. It's even more old school. But someone that can tell a good story and paint a really nice picture. So that's why I recommend that when you really need to think or put in your umph, close your eyes. You'll get a splash of vision with no distraction. And it's very easy for you authentically to describe what you see. And the majority of the time, it's within you that's coming out of you, and you're relying on your intuition and your vision. I mean, I'm not spacing it out there, but come on, Jacob. I could only imagine you with a full classroom, conference hall. Look, I've seen you in your suits looking super sharp and good. Smiles all around you, hugs aplenty. People sharing only the greatest moments and what's to come. Exchanging phone numbers, slaps on the back, buying each other rounds of drinks, making plans. Come on, I can picture it. I can taste it. I'm sure you do surf and turf, so everyone gets happy at dinner. I know you. So why can't you tell people what you see? Why can't you get excited for their growth and for their projections? And so for me, that's authentic, my friend. When you start describing and you get excited over things that are off of your script and you can zig and you zag, that's how I describe making phone calls to someone. Because if they do that force much, they're going to hate it like maybe you did back in the day or some of your coworkers, and they decide to quit. But if you stick with it, you can be the strongest gladiator and make $1 million making phone calls and building armies. That's what I was able to do. I found a beautiful art of speech. And as long as they can see that, then they'll love their work and they'll be very good at it. That's my approach towards someone entering this industry.
And so how would you tap someone? So would you, I know you talk about these innate qualities in some ways, but who would be the perfect person, or perfect individual to be able to join a force to work with, for example, Costa Rican call center?
It's all shapes and sizes, my friend. You could have the soft-spoken female to be at the right place at the right time, or the assertive Philadelphia kid like me, which might be a different taste. But I tell you what, I mean, there's certain checkpoints prior to someone being sitting in a class. They'll, of course, be making some recordings for me for us to consider. Looking at their resume, schmesume, who cares? Turn it over and write me a couple paragraphs of a coming of age moment so you can tell Jacob and I when you beat up a bully. That's what I want to hear from you. So at least I can hear a really good story. But then when we're in class, you stand up. So you're practicing public speaking in front of a dozen people. You hold the script in your left. You use your right hand for illustrators. I will assist you in your balance and your pausing and your breathing. I'll work with you on certain words that may be difficult to pronounce, but guess what, buddy? We can always write it out phonetically. I'll teach you how to spell it. Speak it first, spell second. And that reduces an enormous amount of knowing that word is coming or when the word is there, focusing on it too much. Oh, the grinding of the gears and the misstepping is disgusting. So I'd almost have them just scratch out that word. Write it up there any way you like. Highlight it with a pen, and now it's your happy word. Now you're looking forward to saying it. And so that's kind of the little tricks that we do with people.
Oh, excellent. So if one were to do this in bilingual, So we have a couple of things that we know in the bilingual environment, actually.
Yes.
So there's translanguaging, and then there is, such elements such as code switching. What would be the preferred approach? Would someone be free to navigate between multiple languages, or usually work with one client in one language and then switch to a different language for another client?
That's a wonderful question. First, let me address the fact that I won't bring any languages in here that I can't personally understand. I can't have Tommy on the phone cursing. So I got to know. So it's going to be English, Spanish, and I'll even do Portuguese. We have enough Portuguese speakers here, and I understand enough. Of course, it could go into two languages. It depends on the client. If you need to turn in a recording to them or you need to set up an appointment and no one in the office in corporate speaks Spanish, you got to ensure that the person you're speaking with has a translator or can speak English. That's just number one. Secondly, I would prefer proper grammar. Slang's all right with your buddies in the locker room. But if you're going to be going back and forth with two languages, you must say, yes, this is he. How may I help you? Things like that. And if you want to speak in Spanish, definitely learn your proper grammar. And if you're speaking to a Spaniard, remember the vosotros form, please. And so these are the sort of things that are expected, but I love it. And I tell you what, you brought up a good thing. The moment that the agents here are capable of making call in Spanish, it's almost like Popeye with his spinach. All of a sudden, they're saying, Don Jacob, con mucho gusto. They have stepped up their game to A plus Division One level. And the anchoring, the camaraderie, the laughing, the timing, the only word that comes to mind is ace. It's what they are. And that's why when I recommend to clients, if they're going to be training us, even if the calls are in English, allow us to translate. They can onboard quicker. It's great to know it in two languages. And if we are making phone calls and we have the capability of doing it in two languages, please have some of the list or maybe give us certain departments that will deal with Spanish speakers. And so, how fun, how nice. As I say, what's one of the coolest environments you can have artistically? And one of them is a linguistic environment because it's all the world's a stage. You can do it everywhere. You don't need to bring things with you or download. And, you see the dedication, such intelligence. But my only, it's not a complaint, it's just maybe the way this new generation is coming in. Post-COVID, most people would prefer to be virtual. And that's fine. Through technology and even AI for gathering, we are capable of surviving. But I tell you what, I miss them. I know it's convenient, saves money and time. But when I would walk the rows, Jacob, and the game room was packed and the lunchroom was packed. You get 150 high fives a day. That's pretty freaking cool. And that got taken away. And so I'm all right via Zoom, and people do pop in every now and again, and a fraction of the staff are here. But man, come on. It's almost like you closed my circus down. It's not fair. I think half of the juice, half of what we were doing here, was nurture. It was the energy, the electromagnetic energy, if you believe in those things that people do to save the day, to make the day, to keep someone from quitting, and to get the best out of someone. So it's, and also when you do the classes virtually compared to on site, you can really sense it. So as one educator to another, I'm very gracious and thankful for this. But let's also be realistic. It's 100 times better in person. And you and I both know that. And so if I can extend that sort of empathy towards people, letting them know that we miss them and that there's always an open door policy. If there's a problem at home with the internet, your computer, or dog barking, or electricity, come here. There's a turnkey station. We'd love to see you. Heroes welcome. And
So let's lean into that a bit, particularly because I think COVID thrust all of us into a new paradigm, particularly around how do we maintain social relations.
yes.
So how do you, in your organization, develop a sense of camaraderie, a sense of community, both, I would say, prior to COVID, and then how does that look now that, as you mentioned, some of the employees have moved online.
Maybe it's more shadowing, additional support, not poking the bother, but to say, is there something you may need? We can bring it to you. So it's like these Uber Eats and foods to go. We will try to make it as once again stress-free for you. What have I seen? I've seen, there's a funny 15 to 20% of something. Everything's about 80%, but then depending on the variables, things change. Since people can save time and money through travel and have the luxury of eating at home and working in their PJs, I think that might have increased things by about 5% in regards to production. Okay. So we're at 85%. Why aren't we in the 90s? You lost a complete 15% in regards to the on-site training, the camaraderie, the IT support, the arcade game room. How about just getting out, shaving, putting on clothes, and looking smooth? You got to keep your game going. How about this? I've had a lot of people through the 17 years that have met here, gotten married, and have had children. I've had some call center babies that have been here the whole 9 months, and I say hi to them every day, talk to the tummy. What's my point? That's not going to happen anymore. Those two people through destiny might never meet now. We've hired a bunch of people post-COVID, but
Right.
those A and Bs are never going to make C anymore. And so that's something that's very interesting too. And it's not just me, my man. I can't hit the ball and drag Johnny. It's collective. So what can I do? I can only do so much without being annoying. It's just what are they willing to contribute? So these chat rooms that people have, those are good for business when you need to send out certain stuff or remind certain stuff. But we also permit it to be used as what it is. Shout outs and what's ups. And even if, hey, did you watch the last Better Call Saul last week? Why not? As long as everyone's numbers are good and people are still communicating, I'll take it all. And you want to know something else that's kind of funny? Like we're looking in each other's backgrounds. When you're on Zoom calls with people, it's fine, but you do see what's behind them. You see purple elephants. I'm like, yeah, Jacob, I like the stuffed animals that you have and what's going on back there. But then you see a little bit of someone's life. And so it would have never been shared with you before. But in essence, if I had to give the overall grade, and it's not performance-wise, it's just overall grade, it's like a B plus. We're not in the A area anymore. It's not honor roll or AP advanced placement. You have removed the magic of a call center. And now with AI, that will be replacing a lot of frontline workers because we received a call yesterday from our cable company in Costa Rica. Very nice voice. Guy went super slow. He had to press 1 to 5 if you were happy, gave you 4 questions. It wasn't annoying. I was like, okay, that just took a job from someone. And let him gather it to the 10-yard line. But then, Jacob, come on, you got to give us the ball for the remaining 10 yards touchdown because it's the empathy. It's the human connection. A lot of these calls don't allow you to vent. There's a lot of times you have to repeat your information, punch it in, it's wrong, they hang up on you. So they haven't perfected it yet. And also take into consideration uncanny valley theory. The more that it acts like humans, the more we get freaked out. I like R2D2. C3PO kind of freaked me a little bit. And those are the things too that the market may speak. So you might see those sort of adjustments where real human conversation might be considered a luxury in the near future.
So there's a commercial here in the US. And the company really prides itself on when you call their call center, you speak to a person, not AI generated,
That's right.
AI generated interaction. So what has been the approach of your organization to either integrate or counter the recent developments in AI within your field?
I'll be completely honest with you. Sometimes these kiosks make your burger more consistent than the kid behind the counter. And so, if people are able to, and I'm going to say it again, gathering, if they're capable of gathering for me information, so human error, fatigue, misstepping gets completely taken out, that reduces that sort of time on a phone call and frustration. But as I'm going to say it again, if somebody has a bad experience with a company, they are definitely going to want to speak with somebody to maybe receive some credit or to make a suggestion or just to get it out. And I've also learned as well that if people are using profanity, is not as long as it's not at me, you get a warning, second time's call's dead. But if it goes in this direction, I get it. Come on, it's not 1950s cleavers. I mean, sometimes people curse. It's real life. I've cursed before, haven't you? You got a flat tire and it's raining? I mean, come on. You're supposed to curse. But my point being is that you almost bond that way because then they apologize. And I say, hey, Jacob, do you want to get any more out? And you're like, no, Richard, let's continue. And then instead of giving rebuttals, there's no rebuttals, you're converting a call at that stage. Hi, AI. They can't tell you they know how you feel if you broke an arm or your puppy ran away or changing that tire in the rain. That's almost like an insult. And the worst is, as well, is when you ask to speak to an operator or you do curse or show frustration, they'll kill the call, they'll drop it. Or you don't hit one of the six things on the menu that it's got nothing to do with your situation. And so you wonder, how much is my business worth? When was the last time they actually reached out to me to say, thank you, may I save you money? Or what can we do to make your experience better? They take it for granted. And so, as I say, my friend, any company that decides to put in that human touch for courtesy calls or receiving calls, they're going to get a lot more business these days. Mark my word.
So in some ways, I'm just going to think about drawing a, in some ways, I'm going to connect the dots
Tell
from
me.
what you began at the beginning around empathy and sort of one of the limitations at current around AI in the use of, let's say, call center work is being able to empathize with the person on the other end, depending upon some of the paralinguistic features, a rise in voice,
Sure.
or as you just mentioned, some choice words might be used. I do know if you use certain words on my phone now, Apple phone or my iPhone with Siri, she'll say, "Oh, that's rude," but
It's
not
creepy.
necessarily, not necessarily being able to empathize with one's frustration.
It's never going to hit Uncanny Valley. Our intuitions, our sixth sense, as we survived in the rainforest, forests, and mountains, there might have been things that might have looked human or looked like a certain, and it wasn't that. Mannequins that are too real. And so if you ever took a CPR class and you had to do the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with that dummy, it's kind of weird. I mean, that literally looks like a woman and it's everything's there, but it's just not, it's something's just not right compared to if you were doing that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with a human being. But I got your point, but I'm still willing to believe that my sixth sense, my Koskias, will kick in if some sort of chat box says, I love you, or I'm sorry for you. Or I'm even happy for you. Then why aren't you saying it face to face? Like anybody could be writing that thing. That's not right. It's like a Hallmark card. I'd rather you make it yourself. It's a million times better. That's what goes on the fridge, and that's what you save. I'm telling you, my man, the more that this stuff is nonverbal and it's omnichannel non-voice, where it's going to be chat, email, and texting, it's going to lose its luster. It's not as powerful as if it's the spoken word or even that handwritten letter, which AI might be able to produce. But until that time comes, I still save the letters I have from grandma, and I treasure those things. And so do not worry. It's going to be gourmet for the rich, or even just somebody that wants to breathe fresh air. They will seek out the violinist in the plaza a million times more than any sort of AI that can play the greatest music in the world. They will be fascinated over the man or woman that is doing something live. It just shows that we're living. And I think we're going to respect any level. I'll respect someone that even has a pen. You're like, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to start writing with that? That's the Renaissance again, my friend. We are going to, instead of being lazy with it and not wanting the arts, trust me, that's going to be some of the most important departments in schools moving forward. That's going to be the only thing that's really pure for us compared to what we can find on the internet, like encyclopedias and the, all the information. I'm telling you, the art is the thing that will be stressed the most.
So, Richard, how can the EdUp Accelerated Excellence community connect with or engage with the work of the Costa Rican Call Center?
Oh, Jacob, they can buy a first-class plane ticket and come fly down here, especially when it gets really cold up north. You come visit me, hang out here. But no, you shoot me an email, CEO@CostaRicasCallCenter.com. And listen, if you are part of this amazing organization, friends with Jacob, you just want to dip your toe in the water, ask questions, send a script, and hear my thoughts, I'd be more than happy to share ideas with you. This is what it's about. It's about paying it forward with other learned individuals so we can assist others. And so I can't thank you enough. I love your show. I was supposed to be there in person the first time, and I felt really bad I couldn't be at that convention that you had a couple months ago. But you were very kind, Jacob, to do this virtually with me. So I thank you very much.
We're glad to be able to connect with you. Pura vida. Costa Rica is a wonderful country. So I agree with you. If you get a chance, if you haven't been there, you know, take a trip. Even if you can't afford the first class ticket, Richard Blank is there in Costa Rica. So I'm sure that we can connect with him or the Costa Rican Call Center. Richard, thank you for this opportunity to learn with and from you here at EdUp Accelerated Excellence.
Thank you, Jacob.
EdUp Accelerated Excellence community, we want to hear from you. If you have feedback on this episode or want to suggest future guests, please contact us online at edupxe.com. That's edupxe.com.
Thank you for engaging with the EdUp Accelerated Excellence community. You can find this episode and others on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Music. And if you like this episode, please don't forget to follow us and share within your network.